the Fade the Noise podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir Nathaniel Lundy. This is the Feed the Noise podcast. We're always trying to find hidden gems in markets, and Super Bowl 56 gives us quite the variety pack of offerings out there in the sports betting universe. And eyeing a couple of lines and possibly for a single play payday on either one of these guys, Lundy, I'm going to attach a statistical category to two individuals that you may not be thinking would have a prop on this particular statistical category, but indeed they do. And I'm talking about Cooper Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase. We're not talking about receptions. We're not talking about receiving yards or anytime touchdowns. We're talking about rush yards. And using the power of the internets and the search engines that are out there, I have indeed unearthed a pair of rush yards props for both of these standout wide receivers. So here you go. Cooper Kupp, it's just a half a rush yard, is a line right now at Caesars Sportsbook. And, of course, you don't want to take the under. Life is too short to bet the under on something so infinitesimal. So if you lean to the over, it's plus 250 if he gets one measly rush yard. Meanwhile, for Ja'Marr Chase, the line is set at 2.5 rush yards at DraftKings, and the over there is at minus 110. Are you willing to fire off two tickets here?
No. Are you drunk already this morning?
I'm not.
Oh, my goodness.
I may be shaking off the rust of last night, but
this is what happens when you're a degen, okay? You start digging around for props like this. First of all, Cooper Kupp had a carry in the game against the Niners, and it went for negative yards, dude. Negative yards.
We only need 1 yard, though, Lundy.
Well, but, Brad, I know that you're not good at math, but negative is not 1 yard. Jeez. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of the Cooper Kupp. Even though it's got the plus odds, I'm not a fan of the one for Kupp. I do like the one on Ja'Marr Chase. I do think that they will try to throw a wrinkle in there, do him on that sweep so that he can get outside of that pass rush, that defensive line that the Rams have invested so heavily in. So I do kind of like the Chase one. I know it doesn't have the great odds that you're so drunk on when it comes to your other options, but I don't trust Kupp. No, I just can't do it. Ja'Marr Chase, yes. Cooper Kupp, no. So we'll split the difference.
Well, let's see. Cooper Kupp has done this three times this season. That's it. He's only had 5 carries in the entire year. So, you know, it could be one of those sideways passes that the scorekeeper says, you know what? That's a run. That's behind the line of scrimmage.
I wish you folks could see how hard I'm laughing right now Brad trying to justify this plus odds bet.
But I like to get seduced by the juice, and it's plus 250. So I might fire off a ticket on that, because why the heck not? This is the last time I'm going to be betting on football for quite some time. And no, I'm not touching the USFL when it launches this spring. But I'm with you on Chase. And just for reference, this line at DraftKings is significantly lower compared to the other books. I saw at Caesars, I saw at BetMGM, it's a 4.5 rush yards for Ja'Marr Chase. So you're getting it 2.5. You get that 2-yard discount right now at DK. And look what he's done in this postseason. He is getting, you know, at least a rush attempt every single game. He had 3 for 23 against Las Vegas, 1 for 2 against the Titans, and then 1 for 3 against Kansas City. So if you like that action, again, on a standard juice, just minus 110 on the over, yeah, dude, chase it down on that over 2.5, and don't be a coward. Roll with Kupp as well. And with that,
I'm not a coward. I'm just trying to use my brain.
On this nutless Friday, let's get to it here with another edition of the Fade Five.
Number 5.
All right, Lundy, let's go ahead and look at the NBA slate. And it's always loaded on a Friday. Just a smorgasbord of options to choose from. So let's go ahead and reach the top shelf here and try to pluck down a great value. And I think, ultimately, Josh Giddey tonight is going to get a double-double. And if you believe that the man from the land down under, with the long flowing hair, oh, he's handsome. I wish I could be Josh Giddey. Let's put another shrimp on the Bobby at plus 150. That's what he will get you if you score that double-double, which he has done fairly often
this season. As a matter of fact, Josh Giddey has registered a double-double in a game 13 times this year. He's taking on the Portland Trail Blazers, who last time out on January 31st, so not that long ago, he went 14-12. That was 14 points and 12 rebounds. He has gone over this in three consecutive games, twice with points and rebounds, including that Trailblazers outing, and once with points and assists. And you look at the Blazers this season, we know that they are overly generous defensively, giving up a very high points per possession clip. In fact, the third highest in the NBA. So pull it all together, Lundy. Are you with me on the Aussie? Oi, oi, oi! To get a double-double in P-Town at plus 150, according to DraftKings. Fade or follow?
Yeah, I am giddy for giddy, my man. This is one of my favorite guys to bet on in the NBA. You and I have a few, Franz Wagner being one
yes.
of them. Yes! But we do like ourselves some giddy, and I'm always trying to find props on him that are suppressed, especially based on his opponents. But I feel like the odds makers, Brad, are starting to catch up with us because they're starting to set his lines a little bit better. So I like this one. Just a straight up, all I need is a double-double. Pretty easy to do against Portland. Chauncey Billups and crew have been lost ever since they lost Dame Lillard. And frankly, I don't think they looked very good even when Dame was out there on the court. This Portland team's in trouble. Some of the media folks that I follow up there in the Pacific Northwest are scratching their heads as to what exactly is going on with this team. So I think Giddey takes advantage of it tonight. Love this call on the double-double.
The Thunder from down under. Oh, I'll remove my pants if Giddey can hit this plus 150.
Number four.
All right, let's move on here. And probably the marquee matchup of the night in the NBA, at least one of them. You got Nets and Jazz. Though Rudy Gobert unlikely to play once again tonight, but they are going to get Spider-Man back and Donovan Mitchell. But the other big matchup this evening, the Philadelphia 76ers taking on the Dallas Mavericks. And I'm going to go with the maximum play here, and I'm talking about Tyrese Maxey, and I'm going to take the over on 9.5 rebounds plus assists. You look at Maxey, he has done this in five of his last seven games, Lundy. And, you know, Dallas, pretty damn good defensively. Number 11 in fewest opponent rebounds per game allowed. Oh, what a quinky dink. Number 11 in fewest opponent assists per game allowed as well. But it's all about the recency bias. I'm injecting it in my veins here. Yes, it's minus 130 on this prop right now at BetMGM. So it's juiced up a little bit. Again, for those that don't understand the plus-minus system, if you think that Maxey is going to get to 10 or more combined rebounds plus assists, you want to pluck down 130 to cover the juice to get back 100. That's the minus 130 there. Simple math, I know, and I failed remedial math back in the day. So, Lundy, fade or follow Tyrese Maxey, once again putting crooked numbers in the box score and rebounds plus assists on the over. 9.5, though juiced up, minus 130 at BetMGM.
Well, hey, sometimes things are juiced up because of the expectation to hit it, and sometimes you got to be willing to pay that juice. Yes, it is a little bit extra. I get it. Maybe you want to player prop parlay this one, so grab Maxey, throw it together with something else. But I like this one as a standalone. I think he gets to double figures between those two stat lines. And again, I was just saying it a second ago with Giddey. There's a handful of guys that, yes, I know, Brad and I may sound like a broken record with the guys that we include on the podcast or that Brad and I use on the TV show, but that's because if somebody's cashing tickets, keep betting on them. I'm not here to try to have variety, folks. I'm here to win. So if Maxey's my guy, yes, I'm going to keep betting on him. I like this one a lot.
Take it to the max. Bet on Tyrese.
Number three.
All right, let's go to the Friday slate of college basketball. Always the appetizer, Lundy, before Saturday, which basically you wake up, you shake off the rust of the prior evening, and you start wagering. Sometimes, you know, if you're out on the West Coast, you can start wagering at like 8 a.m., and the action doesn't stop until like 11 or midnight your time. It's always glorious every single Saturday, and it's just so there's so much to choose from. It's almost overwhelming. But anyway, let's get to the opening act before the main slate tomorrow. Let's go to the Atlantic 10, and I am going to take the Richmond Spiders. Yeah, I'm not an arachnophobe. I ain't scared. I'm going to lay the three on Richmond at home against a struggling St. Bonaventure club. A -110 at DraftKings Sportsbook. You look at what the Bonnies have done this season. Well, they've been a colossal bust on defense, giving up 37.2% from along the arc and 57.2% in terms of overall effective field goal percentage, D. That is number 12 in Atlantic 10 play. It's all about Gilliard and Gustafsson. They are going to unleash those G's from outside. 41.1% of Richmond shots in Atlanta 10 action come from three-point land. Now, they're only hitting 29.9% of those shots, but they have shot the ball better here the last six games, netting over 36% from downtown, including 13 drained triples against the Dukes of Duquesne in their last outing. So I think Richmond, knowing that St. Bonaventure is not defending worth a lick, knowing they're at home, knowing that they're playing better, especially from outside, they're checking all the boxes for me. So I'm going to splash with the Spiders, -3 against the Bonnies, -110 at DraftKings. Fade or follow?
It's St. Bonaventure, for crying out loud. Look, folks, in the last 13 games, Brad, do you know how many times St. Bonaventure has covered against the spread?
I think you shared this with me. Is it one time?
It's two.
Oh, two? Oh, all right. Well, double your pleasure,
two.
I guess.
The Bonnies are on fire. folks, they're 2-11 against the spread in their last 13 games. They have been one of the most disappointing teams to try to bet on, because early on, I thought, okay, like I was seeing some lines. I'm like, man, I got to roll with St. Bonaventure here. And then they're just completely shitting the bed. They're awful right now.
Yeah, they're really bad.
You know, St. Bonaventure has beaten Richmond, excuse me, five times in a row. It's time for Richmond to break that. I think they win at home. I think they cover. The Bonnies have just been an absolute betting nightmare. So based on how poorly they have performed against the spread, I have got to go with the Spiders on this one, because I flat out do not trust St. Bonaventure at all.
Get rich quick with the Spiders. Stay tuned for my top picks and college basketball plus bonus time.
Number two.
All right, Luddy, let's go ahead and get after it here on this Friday with another college hoops selection. And let's go to the Big East. Another one of the marquee matchups of the evening on the hardwood. Creighton is traveling to Jersey to take on the Seton Hall. Yarr, me mateys. The Pirates. And yeah, Captain Hook is involved in this one. Ah, shiver me timbers. And I'm going to side with the Jays here, +6.5 against the struggling Hall, -110. At BetMGM. I mean, look at Creighton. Suddenly, the stiffest defense, not offense. We're talking defense. Yes, with the Creighton Blue Jays, but they have a reversal in identity. Normally, a team that fills up the cup, they have struggled offensively this season. And, in the past, at least recent iterations, they have been rolling out the red carpet defensively. Not the case. They are clamping down and doing it at an extraordinary rate, giving up just 0.962 points per possession in Big East play. And that is number one in the entirety of the league. And there are a lot of quality teams. They're 100% going to be a multiple bid league. Probably going to get anywhere between 4 to 5 bids in the NCAA tournament come March. But for Creighton, what they need to do in this game is actually rediscover that outside stroke and bomb away with Hawkins, with O'Connell as well. Seton Hall has just been overly forgiving when it comes to defending the arc, giving up 36.8% in Big East action. Overall, Seton Hall number 7 in adjusted offensive efficiency in league play. Throw on top the cherry, the free throw rate of Creighton is rather high, and they get it done at the charity stripe, netting 77.8%. So, they can draw contact, they can splash from outside. They're going to keep this one close. I'm not saying they're going to win straight up, but we're getting 6.5 here, and Creighton's been playing some damn good ball here of late. See what they did in their last game out, upsetting UConn on the road. So, Lundy, fade or follow, the Jays. They got to fly high and flap those wings. +6.5 in Jersey against struggling Seton Hall.
That was an impressive bird call. I'm not going to lie. That was pretty impressive. Yes, I'm going to take the points with Creighton, really for all the reasons that you pointed out. But also, you know, you go and look at Bartorvik, got it as a 2-point game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes you see the spreads and I compare them to Bartorvik a lot, where I'm trying to say, OK, if they're calling for a spread of 3.5 and then you go look at the projections, and you're like, oh, well, crap.
And that's and that's all predictive analytics. And it's also based on performance as well. So it's all baked in. Those are all the ingredients that churns out that number. And you're right. Using Bartorvik as a source, Ken Palm as a source, Hazelometrics, which also does projections as a source, putting them all side by side, it really does help you get to where you need to go on one side of the ledger or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's something I really hope folks are out there using it, because, for example, Torvik's got it as 69-67
nice.
For Seton Hall. If we want to go back just a second to what we were talking about right before the break, it's got Richmond -6. I mean, these are just numbers that sometimes you can go with your gut feel, you can go with your own research, but then you can go, all right, let me see exactly what all of these analytics that pile together are telling me. And sometimes when I need a tiebreaker, it's Torvik that I like to go look at. So
yep.
This one is projected to be really tight. Has Seton Hall winning, but has it expected to be a tight contest. So, you know, it plays into exactly the narrative you were talking about. I like the idea of Creighton catching 6. Maybe they don't win it outright, but 6.5 just seems like too many points. I'm going to take that for the road squad, and let's see if the Blue Jays can get it done.
Cash with Creighton.
Number one.
All right, last and certainly not least, my top play of the day in the world of college basketball. I love Fresno. I really do. I have a strong fondness for this team, particularly one Orlando Robinson, the 7-footer. Can beat you inside and outside. He's shooting over 35% from way downtown. And he just kisses a ton of balls off the glass. He is a matchup problem for basically everybody in the Mountain West Conference, and particularly for Nevada. And revenge is on the mind for the Bulldogs, and they're going to take a bite out of their conference rival and exact that revenge. And I'm going to take them on the over, though, not on the spread, but on the over, 70.5 team total points, -115 at DraftKings. Now, remember, you talked about Bartorvik, projected Fresno at 71, KenPom at 71, Hazelometrics at 72 points here. So decent line value here at the 70.5 offering. They also went over in the prior meeting against Nevada, which they lost on the road in Reno, 77-73. But again, that key number there at the end, 73. This team is netting 1.09 points per possession in conference action, 38.7% from distance. That's number one among all Mountain West teams, and there's some pretty good offensive teams in this league. They're also netting 77.9% at the free throw line. You know, so they could salt away the clock. If Nevada wants to play the Hack-a-Shack game down the stretch, they'll be able to put them away and hopefully put us over the top with this 70.5 line. Tempo will be key. Fresno loves to live in a half-court setting. Nevada wants to rev the engine and speed it up. They're number 26, the Wolfpack, in adjusted tempo in the country. But given the efficiency, given the matchup problem of Robinson, went for 26-12 in the first toe-to-toe clash. I think Fresno gets to like 73-75 total points here at home. So Lundy, fade or follow the Bulldogs on that over 70.5 team total against Nevada, -115 to DK.
Oh, grab your Old Spice. We're going to be sweating. We're going to be sweating with this. No, I do think they get over this total, but I do think it's going to be close. I think it could come down to some of the Hack-a-Shack free throws that you just talked about. That may be what winds up putting them over the top. Exactly what the projections are. I'm going to shoot for them to be somewhere between 72 and 75, right in that range against Nevada. So I'm going to take the over with you, but ooh, this might be one where, you know, you get a kid that goes to the line, you got the 1-1 and he misses the front end and you're like, damn, son of, and you start, you know,
yeah,
cussing and
four letter words.
Yeah, exactly. It's why sometimes when I'm watching certain sporting events, if I have a lot of money on the line, to quote our good friend Alfred Williams, I have to watch holding a pillow. That way, if I throw anything, I don't actually break anything of note.
Yeah, hopefully we will be able to quell the rage and Fresno will get it done. But we're probably going to be raging over some additional action. It's bonus time. What else you got for me on this Friday, Lundy?
Well, Brad, we're in the All-Star break for the NHL, but just like I talked about at the open of the program, sometimes you're a D-gen and you just got to go find something to bet on.
Cooper Cup over rush yards! Go get it!
They've got a fastest skater competition that they do every year with the skills competition, and Connor McDavid has won it three times. He lost most recently, but he's won this thing three times. He's the odds-on favorite at plus 150. But if you want to dig a little bit deep and just sprinkle like a half a unit on a long shot odds, I'm going with Jordan Kyrou of the St. Louis Blues. And I know, Brad, you have no idea who any of these guys are because you don't follow hockey. It's okay. But Jordan competed in this competition at the AHL level, at the minor league level, a couple of years ago. Came in second. He's pretty damn quick. Young guy, I think he's 23, 24 years old, and he's at plus 800 to pull off the upset and win this particular competition tonight. So I just sprinkled a small bet on it just because it's a plus 800, more than likely based on just the pure skill set that McDavid has. He's probably going to win it for the fourth time, which will break the tie that he's had. He'll wind up being the guy that's won it the most in NHL All-Star history. But Jordan Kyrou, to me, at plus 800 is worth just a little sprinkling of a bet just to be able to have some fun. So there's a hockey pick for you on a Friday. But really, I'm just looking forward to tomorrow's college basketball slate because holy crap, is it good.
Yeah, it's stupid, man. And it is every single Saturday. I mean, it's February, for crying out loud. First week of the month. This is the stretch run. Conference titles on the line. You get all kinds of stunning, breathtaking, sweaty matchups galore. And like I said, it's going to start at like 9 a.m., depending upon what time zone you're in, and will not end.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow morning starts with, who is it, Nova? And I can't remember. Anyway, it's at 9 a.m. if you're on the West Coast.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
It's like we come straight out of the gate tomorrow with a top 25. It's UConn and Villanova. Sorry, I couldn't remember who the opponent was. It's Nova and UConn as the first game of the day tomorrow. So, yeah, pants optional. Let's watch some hoops tomorrow. But like I said, tonight, have some fun with the skills competition. And if you want to take a long shot, Jordan Kyrou is my long shot at plus 800.
All right, well, let's go back to the NBA. And I am going to log in another player prop that I'd like tonight. I like Luka Doncic over 9.5 rebounds. Light juice just minus 105 right now at DraftKings against the 76ers. Doncic has been over this in 8 of his last 13, and I was shocked when I was looking up some numbers on Philadelphia. They are dead last in the NBA in opponent defensive rebounding percentage with Joel Embiid. Really? For real? Like, that's head-scratching to me. 80.2% is what they have allowed this season, and they've also got about the 12th most opponent rebounds per game, so nice line value there, especially with the lighter juice. I also like the over on Anthony Simons, a 3.5 made triples against OKC. Now, Simons has been ice cold the last couple of times out, 5 for his last 22 from distance, but he's been over this in 7 of his last 9 games. In fact, in his last 16 games, he's averaging 10.4 three-point attempts per contest. Oklahoma City, middle of the pack in three-point percentage Ds. So Simons at plus 110 at DraftKings on the over 3.5. Yeah, I think he can get 4 triples through the cylinder. Meanwhile, elsewhere in college basketball, I do like Brown. I'm getting down those future check riders of the world in the Ivy League. Brown laying 4 at home against the Harvard Crimson, and I think Brown will dispense of Harvard with relative ease. Brown number 1 in 2-point percentage D in the Ivy League, giving up just 50.0% in that category. Also really extend to the arc as well. Number 3 in 3-point percentage D. Why is that important? Well, Harvard is entirely 3-point dependent. 45.8% of their shots come from outside. Harvard also dead last in effective field goal percentage D. So Keno Lilly lights it up from outside and guides Brown to a cover tonight. And that is a wrap for us. Oh, no, you know what? Now, double bonus time, Lundy. I would be remiss if I didn't throw out a Colorado State projection. Yeah. I think Colorado State, I'm going to ram it with CSU inside Moby. You know that audience and attendance is going to be well lubricated for a Friday night game in Fort Fun. Are you kidding me? And you're taking on San Diego State. I think they will cover, and they could do it with relative ease, the 3 points that they are laying against the Aztecs. Why? Well, I think Colorado State is going to try to speed up San Diego State, make them uncomfortable. San Diego State likes to play in a half-court setting. They're the best defensive team in all of the Mountain West, so they have got to live in transition to the Rams to prevent SDSU from setting that defense. Because if they set it, you might as well forget it, because it is quite the chore to score on them. But when you have David Roddy, when you have Isaiah Stevens, when you have Tanjay, when you have Deshaun Thomas, all these guys are shooting over 40% along the arc, and they're very good off the bounce as well. This is one of the most electric offensive teams in the country. I think you pull it all together. Also, SDSU 1-3 away this season. I think CSU gets a much-needed victory and stays there in the upper echelon of the Mountain West Conference, which has been an incredibly fun league this year. So lay the 3 there. And that is a wrap on this edition of the Feed the Noise podcast. Please follow Lundy on Twitter at Nate Lundy. Follow me there at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review if you enjoy this podcast. Helps us out tremendously. Enjoy your weekend and your stupid Saturday slate, where you're going to be living in a sedated state from sunup to sundown. I will be one of those individuals. And until next time, as always, feed or follow. That is up to you.
Feed the noise.